Now this morning, with your Bibles open to the book of Acts, commonly called the fifth gospel. My text will be taken from Acts chapter 9. I shall begin reading at verse 1. May I remind you who are visiting with us again that it's a joy to have you in the services today. And for this fine representation of our membership, I trust that you will wait upon the Lord. The Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So in the relaxed atmosphere of worship, we meet today in the house of the Lord. I'm reminded of that passage of Scripture from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. And verse 20, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pause before thee to thank thee for thy goodness, to acknowledge thee as the only God of the universe, in whose hands are the storms and thunders and lightnings. And we thank thee that thou art great enough to shake this building, to shake this world, to shake our hearts, to cause us to acknowledge thee in this hour. And so it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would speak to us as our hearts are stilled before thee. May we be broken by thy Spirit, having been branded for Jesus in this time of roundup for Jesus. In his name we ask it, and for his sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Today I am bringing the second in a series of four messages under the title Roundup for Jesus. Last week my message was branded, just the one word, B-R-A-N-D-E-D, branded. Branded for Jesus. My message today is under the title, broken. Broken for Jesus. All of us know what the meaning of that word is. Why, just since last Sunday, some of you have broken a glass, or a pencil, or a mirror, or a dish, or a rolling pin. And in the case of some of you young lovers, perhaps a heart. Just since last Sunday, broken, broken, broken. When man breaks something, it renders it useless. But on the contrary, when God breaks something, He renders it useful. The poet put it this way: when some things are broken, they lose all their worth, unless it be to some collector or some repairer. But hearts, the more they're bruised and broken here on earth, in heaven are so much the costlier and fairer. Broken things. Under this topic, broken, there are three things that I want you to note with me concerning being broken. First of all, let us notice that God breaks us in order to make us. Secondly, we shall observe that after the Lord has broken us, we get a new lease on life. And third, God uses some strange things to break us. The Apostle Paul, about whom we have read here in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, knew what it was to be broken. God breaks us in order to use us. Let me ask a question this morning. How many of you have ever plowed behind a mule? Let's see your hand. Well, I thought you looked like you're from the country. God bless every one of you. God bless every one of you. Now, you know that sometimes you have to knock a mule in the head to get his attention. I know when I was a boy, I'd sit in the window and I'd watch the man who lived next door. He'd take a 2x4 and crown that mule. And the old mule would shake a little bit, but he wouldn't budge. And the man, big old, over 200-pound man, wham, down on the mule he'd go again. In a few minutes, that mule would kind of shake off and he'd start plowing. That man had to break that mule before he was any good for plowing. God has to break us before He can make us what we ought to be. It is God's will, and I don't think anyone would question this, it is the will of God that we conform to His way of life. We don't really expect God to come down to our menial way of life, do we? No. We must conform to God's way of life. Not only so, but it is God's will for us to surrender ourselves to Him, to be clay in the hand of the potter, to be broken, to be pliable, to be usable in His hand. Furthermore, it is the will of God for us to obey His commands. I read in the book of God where the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." In the original language, the Hebrew, that word maketh is a very strong verb. It suggests the word compelleth. He forceth me. He compelleth me, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In order to get us to lie down sometimes, God has to break us. An American traveler was in the country of Syria a few years ago and was there for a while and became acquainted with a shepherd. That land is full of shepherds and sheep. And so he decided that he would go with him out to the sheepfold one morning. And he observed that apart from the fold, the shepherd was taking something in his arms. And so he followed him more closely and discovered that there was one sheep here by itself. And the shepherd was taking its food. And the traveler observed that the little sheep had a broken leg. And so he inquired of the shepherd, how did this happen? Some accident? Did the sheep fall into a hole? Did some big animal or beast fall upon it? How did it break its leg? Oh, the shepherd said, no, it didn't fall into a hole. No beast fell on it. It was no accident. I broke its leg. American said, you broke this sheep's leg? Yes, I did break the sheep's leg. For you see, this sheep is a wayward sheep. Never would stay with the flock. It always lead out in a different direction. And would not permit me to come near it. I could not approach it. But one day I caught the sheep. And I broke its leg. And now it is absolutely dependent upon me. And as these days go by that I come to feed the sheep will learn to trust me as its shepherd. And when it's well, it'll stay with the flock. What a beautiful picture. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes God has to break us in order to make us. There's a beautiful picture of this on a larger scale in the book of Jeremiah. When God said to Jeremiah, arise and go down to the potter's house. And Jeremiah arose and went down to the potter's house, and what did he see? He saw the potter working a vessel on the wheel. And the vessel was marred in the potter's hand. And the potter made it again. After the vessel had been made, it was marred. And then it was remade. It was formed, deformed, and reformed. It was made, it was broken, it was remade. And God said to Jeremiah, as the potter hath done with this clay, this vessel, so will I do with the nation Israel. Beloved, if I know anything about the Bible and anything about our nation, I believe with all of my heart today that our nation needs to be broken before God. We are too self-sufficient. We are too prosperous. We are too proud. We are too high-minded. We have been marred by sin. The giving of our lesson this morning, we noted that the prophet Isaiah spoke about the great kingdom age that is to come with the coming of Christ. And yet, there are preachers all over this nation today who are proclaiming a false millennium and who are saying that the kingdom is now come. It wouldn't take one iota of sense to know that this world is not getting better. This world is progressively becoming worse. Read the headlines in your papers. 5 bombings this week. All of the airports are having to put on extra security guards. The weathermen and the Black Panthers say we are going to kill the pigs. Is our world getting better? No, evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What our nation needs today, I believe with all of my heart, is a breaking from God. I don't know what God's going to use to do it. He may use war. He may use depression. He may use a pestilence. He may use famine. I don't know what God is going to choose to use, but I believe this: God is going to bring America to her knees. Now, you know, Billy Graham say that, they'd put an old press. I say it. Some of my members say, well, same old thing. I've heard that before. But it's coming. It's true. I say it again. I believe with all of my heart, and I've been studying the Word of God for a long time, I believe that God is going to break America and bring her to her knees to make us again just like He wants us to be. A man by the name of Ole Bull, an outstanding musician, was to give a concert in London, England, many years ago. Before he went upon the stage, someone called him aside and said, Ole, your critics have turned this audience against you. They are all prejudiced against you when you're playing. So the curtains were drawn. This mighty musician, Ole Bull, walked out on the stage. He didn't bow. He didn't say a word. He looked over to the left and scanned the faces of all the people. And then he took his finger and broke one of the strings of his violin. And then he walked to the right and he looked at all the people there. And he took another finger and broke another string. And then he looked out in the center. And without saying a word, he took another finger and broke a third string. And then the maestro that he was, he touched the string, and the most beautiful concert he ever offered came from one string. Sometimes God has to break us down to one string. He breaks the string of our prosperity. He breaks the string of our foolishness, of our inertia, of our apathetic approach to things. He breaks us, and then the mighty master of all music touches the one string that's left. Brings forth the mighty tune. I say again, God breaks us in order to make us. Then after God has broken us, He gives us a new lease on life. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. To me to live is Christ. To die is gain. I do not believe that Paul could have said that unless and until he had been broken by the power of God. Look at Paul on the Damascus Road. Proud, sophisticated, ambitious, arrogant, violent. Did you hear the words of my text? And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Violent. Arrogant. Ambitious. Proud. Sophisticated Paul. Saul of Tarsus. Having in his pockets the papers to bind all Christians and bring them to Jerusalem to imprison them. But wait. A bright light is shining from heaven. A voice is heard. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. A bright light, a voice, and Paul cried out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? This is the cry of a broken man. God is not looking for brilliant men. God is not looking for eloquent men. God is looking for broken men, broken by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here was a man who knew what it was to be broken. God had broken in upon Paul's program of life. He had broken down his stubborn will of rebellion and resistance. And Paul answers, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Paul was given a new lease on life. From that moment on the Damascus Road until the moment that he parted this life, Paul was a different man. For one thing, he knew how to sympathize with others who were broken. I read a beautiful story that comes out of the Reader's Digest several years ago. There was a man who had puppies for sale. He put him up a sign, "Puppies for sale." The little boy in the neighborhood and several others had gathered around, and nobody had noticed the little boy until he got up on his tiptoes and said, "Mister, how much are those puppies that you have for sale?" The man said, "Why, son, they're $10 apiece. How much money you got?" And his face fell, and he said, "Well, mister, I don't have but $1.63. But could I just see the puppies?" "Why, sure," he said, "maybe we can work out a deal." And so the man whistled, and there came out Lady and five little balls of fur behind her. And the last one was just dragging along. Just dragging along. And the little boy said, "There he is. I heard you had one that had a crippled leg." "That's right, son. He does. He's hopelessly crippled." He said, "Mister, that's the one I want." He said, "Why, son, wouldn't you? Don't you want to have one of these others that can play with you? Why, that dog will never be able to run and play." He said, "No, sir, mister. That's the one I want." He hiked up his little trouser leg, and there was a brace. And he said, "You see, mister, I won't ever be able to walk too good myself. And I know that little pup's going to need somebody that understands." Paul could understand, because on the road to Damascus, he had been broken by the power of God. You and I can understand. You and I can identify. You and I can sympathize when we have been broken by God. And not until we have been broken do we get a new lease on life. And when we get a new lease on life, you know what happens? We get a conscience we can live with. We get a creed we can live by. We get a cause we can live for. We get a company we can live in. We get a consummation we can live for. A consummation, a hope of the end. When I look about me, and I see the accomplishments of man, when I see the ingenuity of man, electric lights, air conditioning, going to the moon, medical and technical advances of the 20th century, I have one question that comes to my mind. And I ask, is this all? And the answer comes back, no, this isn't all. For one day Jesus is coming. And we're going to move out of this old house that's ragged and torn and painful and distraught and nervous and anxious and fearful. We're going to move into a new city, in a new world, in a new home. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Yet I hear people singing, "Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land." I don't go for that kind of theology. Oh, it makes a good song, But I have a mansion, and the rent will never come due. And there'll never be any taxes. And you electricians, you're going to be out of business. And you carpenters, you're going to be out of work. And you plumbers, you'll never have another call. Because in that land that's fairer than day, we're not going to need any of this. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear and weep and wipe my weeping eye. Oh, this isn't all. There's a greater land. There's a land that's fairer than day. A new consummation. A new lease on life. A new hope. Because we've been broken by God. God does use strange things to break us sometimes. William Cooper, the songwriter, put it this way: God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. He plants His feet upon the sand and rides upon the storm. I'm so glad I'm serving a God like that today. A God that is bigger than I am. A God that is bigger than the world. A God that is bigger than all things. He uses strange things. Well, in breaking Paul, he used a personal appearance. We saw it in our text. In breaking Jacob, he used a wrestling match. The first one on record. And it lasted all night long. Some of you would enjoy that, wouldn't you? See a wrestling match all night long? And there wrestled with him. Amen. Now sometimes we get that wrong. Jacob really didn't wrestle with God. God wrestled with him, and there's a difference. And Jacob was left alone. And they wrestled with him, amen, until the breaking of the day. And finally Jacob got to enjoying that thing so much, he said, I'm not going to turn you loose until you bless me. The angel of the Lord hit him on the thigh. And from then on, Jacob went like this. Jacob was a broken man because God wrestled with him. God broke him. When God got ready to break Peter, he did it by the crowing of a rooster. And Peter was reminded of the words of Jesus. When God was ready to break David, he did it by the death of a baby. I don't know what God is going to use to break America. I don't know what God is going to use to break us, but God is going to do it. Many times God uses prayer, the prayer of a loved one. Many of you are here today because somebody prayed for you. Wife, or husband, or mother, or daddy, or somebody. I've been listening in the last few days to an old record by Dr. J. Frank Norris. And on that record and in that sermon, he tells the story of going down to Hill County, just below us here, to hear a mighty preacher by the name of Sam Jones, a Methodist circuit riding preacher. Dr. Norris said, I saddled up my mule and we rode down. Found a place to stay, 10 cents a day. Bed, bunk, bugs, and everything. Some of you old-timers might have heard this sermon 35, 40 years ago. I don't know how long it was, 25 or 30 years ago. Dr. Norris said, I got there, and that was a little short fella, Sam Jones, going to preach 3,000 people. Said he started and said, well, I wasn't too much impressed with it, just to be honest with you. Until Sam Jones said, well, folks, I want to tell you how God saved me. And he put it in Sam Jones' words. And Sam Jones said, I was so dead drunk in the bar that when the bartender got ready to close up, he said, Sam, get out of here. And I was so drunk, he just kicked me out the back door. There I laid all night long, And I got up the next morning, the snow had covered me over. The vomit and the filth and everything was all over my clothes. Hair a mess. I knocked on that old saloon door. And I said, "Let me in." He came to the door and let me in. And I said, "Give me one more drink." The bartender gave him a drink. Sam Jones said, I lifted up that glass. And then I just happened to turn and I looked in the mirror. My hair was all disheveled. I hadn't shaved in a month. My clothes were covered with vomit and filth. And I said to myself, is that all that's left of the brilliant lawyer? Sam Jones said, I threw that glass of liquor down. And I went down on my knees and I prayed, oh God, have mercy on me. The bartender thought I was dying, and sure enough I was, said Sam Jones. And so several other guys gathered around and said, Sam, can we help you? No, leave me alone. And Sam Jones got saved. Sam says, I went out to the old boarding house where I'd been staying. I was met by the landlady and she said, Sam, what can I do for you? Give me a cup of hot black coffee. And she got it. What else can I do for you? Nothing. Leave me alone. Sam said, I went down to a friend at a clothing store. And there I was in all of the muck and mire and mess, and I said to my friend, let me have a suit of clothes till I can do better. To make a long story short, the man gave him a suit of clothes and a shirt and a tie and everything you needed. Sam says, I went off to the barber shop and I got a haircut and I got shaved and I took a bath and I put on a suit. And lo and behold, when I put my hand in the pocket and pulled it out, there was a $100 bill. The clover had put $100 in it. And said, I straightened myself up and I went off to the little room where the wife and children were. And I had beaten them and bruised them and battered them. And I knocked on the door. And my wife came to the door, Sam says, and she didn't even recognize me. And I said, darling, God has given you a new husband and your children a new daddy. And she threw her arms around him and said, Sam, hallelujah. That's what I've been praying for. God uses prayer, my friend. God uses mother's prayer and wife's prayer and children's prayer and friend's prayer to get you broken. Like old Sam Pete Jones, who went up and down the country, a circuit riding, horseback riding Methodist preacher, and was mightily used of God. Hallelujah, Sam. This is what I've been praying for. Has God broken you? Why don't you say, I'm the clay and thou art the potter, and I'm in your hands, God, and whatever you want for my life, I'll take it. Broken. Broken. Broken for God. Broken by God. Round up for Jesus. Well, let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank thee today for this wonderful congregation, power of thy word, the gospel of redeeming grace. We thank thee that thou hast broken in upon us, dear God. We pray that thou wouldst continue thy hammering upon us till we are completely and totally submissive to thy will. Break us and remake us for thy honor and thy glory, for thy service. That boy, that girl, that mother, that dad, that young man, that one who's gone astray, that one who's forgotten, that one who's left off, that one who's given up, that one who's trembling and anxious this morning. Oh, may they realize today that the Holy Spirit can break and the Holy Spirit can make. May we all be broken and remade for thy service is our prayer in Jesus' name.